I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Susie.
And I'm JT with a new camera.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, who gave him that?
I don't know. If you're only listening, JT is holding a camera in his hand and creating a very found footage feel to our podcast now.
Oh, my God, I'm scared. I'm seeing it up on the TV screen. It's horrible. I'm so sorry. Our YouTube viewership is about to plummet just in the first few minutes.
One third is Blair Witch, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
It is.
Yeah. Right.
It's very true.
Well, other than JT's new camera, today we are going to be doing a ghost mail.
Ghost mail.
You've got ghost mail.
Yes, we are going to be talking about your ghost stories. So thank y'all for sending them in. If you have a ghost story that you want us to talk about or discuss on the podcast, do send it to us. It's at ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. And we appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
We love reading the ghost mails. So other than that, though, we do want to thank some new para-junkies. If you are not familiar with Patreon, now is the time to be on Patreon because they are making so many changes. It is so cool. There's group chats. There's,
We should announce the group chat name. Chris Keen, Ultra Para-Junkie Chris Keen came up with it, and it is Para-Junkies Anonymous.
That's hilarious, honestly.
Nice.
We've created a junkie brand.
That was not exactly what we're after, but it's perfect.
It works. It works perfectly.
Anonymous.
So thank y'all to the newest pair of junkies. We want to thank Casey Perez, Caitlin Whalen, L. Doherty, Mimi, and Kristen Nichols. Thank you guys so much for joining the Para-Junkie fam.
I think it's L. Doherty.
L. Doherty. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Yep.
But yes, L. Doherty. Well, thank you guys, anywho, for joining us. We appreciate it. It helps us out a ton to continue doing what we're doing and sending us to different haunted locations. We are so close to going to Waverly Hills.
Yes.
So now is also the time to jump on the Para-Junkie train just for that if you want to see us go to Waverly Hills and investigate it. So
yeah, they started a new thing where it's free. You can be a free Para-Junkie or a paid Para-Junkie now. The free gets you borderline nothing.
Way to sell it, JT.
I know.
I'm just gonna be real. But basically, we have to hit 140 paid Para-Junkies to do it.
The financials help us the most.
Yes,
as much as we love our listeners, and you are welcome to listen to us on wherever you're getting your podcasts, and we love you equally, don't worry. But the financials do definitely help a lot to continue growing the podcast. So.
And of course, the free Para-Junkie level is just to get you familiar with Patreon and the processes of Patreon, and really to tell you what you're missing out on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which you don't see because it's all blurred.
Yes. Now, let's dive on into these ghost stories. So our first one comes from Para-Junkie Maria Cruz.
Yeah.
Yee-hee.
She's Ultra Para-Junkie.
She is. She is an Ultra Para-Junkie. So hi, guys. There's been a few little weird things happening lately, and I wanted to share them with you. These things have been happening over the course of the last year, but what happened tonight gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Ooh,
nobody likes the heebie-jeebies.
Heebie-jeebie meter goes off. You got to pay attention.
And it's true. And I wanted to see what y'all thought. I've mentioned this in previous stories, but my husband and I live in the middle of the woods.
Yes.
Perfect place for heebie-jeebies.
Yes.
It's where they come from.
Exactly. Quite literally, the middle. We have cleared only an 1 to 2 acre circle in the center of our property, and the woods have always felt a little off to me. Good.
Off to a good start.
Yes. I believe in all things fae as well as other creatures, so the possibilities seem endless. The first occurrence was towards the end of last year when me and my dogs, Max and Sunny, were outside for potty time before I had to leave for work. We had only had Sunny for maybe a month at this point, and he was maybe 3 months old. I was walking Max on a leash, and Sunny was just trailing behind us, and Max is picky and will only use the bathroom in a specific section of the woods.
Yeah.
I understand that. My mini schnauzer is the same way.
Same exact way.
Yep, so we get it. It's a good 5-minute walk from our house. It was 8:30 a.m., and I was standing there letting the boys potty when I heard something call for Sunny.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Absolutely not.
Ruh-roh.
No one else was home, and my neighbor wasn't home either. At this time, I used Sonny's name a lot so he could learn it and learn to come when I called for him. I always said his name in a sing-song type of way, if that makes sense, LOL. The voice was very obviously something trying to sound female and mimic my tone.
Oh, boy.
The undertone of the voice was very gravelly and just weird. It was obvious it was trying to force itself to sound differently. Honestly, at first, I just thought maybe I wasn't awake fully or something. I tend to zone out quite a lot, like, you know, when you're physically present, but mentally you're somewhere else. I struggle with a lot of anxiety and depression, so zoning out has just become the way that I cope. So I just assumed maybe it was some weird effect of coming back to myself. Of course, until Sunny very obviously heard it as well and took off. When Max... No, Sunny, no! No fun on the boys, Sunny! But when Max was done using the bathroom, because Max was on a mission here, Max was like, goodbye, brother, sibling, whatever gender the dog is. When Max was done using the bathroom, I walked him back out into the clearing to see Sunny looking very confused and trying to find whoever called him. After that first time, I began hearing whispering right when I'd walk off the porch to begin my walk with Max. Then that turned into heavy breathing that felt like it was right in my ear and eventually turned into hearing my name. This was always just right at the edge of my porch, but when I would reach the woods, it felt as if I was standing in the center of a crowd, almost as if I was being hunted. I began running back from the woods to the house. These things would only happen at night. Whenever I did this, I would feel as though something was rushing up behind me. It felt like it's that feeling, you know, someone is behind you or looking at you. Over the course of a few months, I became tired of feeling this way and began forcing myself to walk slowly back to the house. Even when walking, I could feel an energy rushing up behind me. I felt surrounded the whole time, and I felt as though something would lurk right outside the range of my flashlight. Over time, it got easier to deal with, and I became more comfortable. One day before work, I stood in the woods and addressed whatever it was. Was this a good idea? I don't know.
I'm like, okay.
At least you're self-aware, Maria.
You got to do something. I applaud the effort.
Yes. But oh well. I remember saying, I'm not sure if you're wanting something or just trying to get my attention, but could you please approach me differently? If you need help, I can try and help, but I'm tired of feeling threatened. I stood there for a minute and then left for work. That night when I took Max potty, I felt the energy there, but it didn't feel as threatening.
Okay.
I still dealt with the breathing and the whispers. I felt as though it was staying further away. This is also when Sunny randomly appeared out of thin air and scared the hell out of me enough to assume he was a skinwalker. When your dog's a skinwalker, you know.
Literally.
We can all laugh at that together, which we did.
We did.
Yes. My husband now teases me about going outside to see the skinwalkers. As I've mentioned before, he doesn't really believe in any of this. Not too long after this, I felt the energy follow me onto the porch, and I stood there and firmly said, nope, not in my house. You stay outside. I began feeling the presence at my door when I'd shut it. The energy was so thick and heavy, it felt almost suffocating. I started clothes pinning my curtains shut because I didn't want it watching me. When I would feel it against the door, the energy seemed female, but then again, didn't seem like anything human. Like something was wrong with the energy. To me, it didn't feel the same way as normal spirits energy felt. Like it was tainted or something. I never felt like it crossed into the house. I put up little balls, like clear Christmas ornament balls filled with protective herbs. You know, a good witch ball. We love those. I love a witch ball. Filled with protective herbs at my doorway, and that gave me more peace of mind. Things settled, and I stopped feeling so threatened. It was like it suddenly stopped. Well, within the past few weeks, things have shifted again. I hear whistling and sometimes what sounds like singing. With the whistling, it's like a certain type of whistle. On the farm, we whistle a certain way for the animals, and we do this same whistle when trying to locate each other across the property. The whistling is not exact to the whistle we use, but it is very close. There are for sure some type of humming or melody, but I'm always having to strain to hear it. I haven't been able to make any sense of it. And I'm not really sure I want to. So I just ignore it and make a mental note that it happened. Then we get to tonight. I take Max potty and Sunny follows and everything is normal. I lay down for bed and Max begins acting very strange. Hello?
It's fine.
Okay. He always sleeps with me, but I could hear him pacing. I didn't think he needed to potty again because he always we always have our last time outside at 11 p.m. He begins standing and staring at me at the edge of the bed, which is really creepy, by the way. He bounced on top of me, and I just got this weird vibe of, like, that's not my dog.
Oh.
I feel like that sounds absolutely crazy, but that was my first response. His whole energy didn't feel like his own. He's normally such a goofball, but he just felt off. I asked him if he had to go potty, and he sprinted to the door, so I got up and took him. Sunny followed as always. I have a goat that we have cleared an area for, and he's in that same area of the woods. The wood line continues behind his cleared spot, and that's where Max uses the bathroom. The whole vibe was off. The energy was somewhat tense and eerie. Ricky, that's my goat, LOL, began.
Ricky the goat.
Yes. And Ricky began crying.
I need photos of Ricky, Maria.
I also need Ricky the goat.
And
photos.
Sunny, for that matter.
Yes.
Send all the pictures of the pets.
Yes. And I started looking around with the flashlight just in case there were coyotes. Coyotes surround our house a lot, and I thought maybe the different smell attracted them. Well, then Sunny began acting odd. He wouldn't leave the goat area, and normally he always sits at the edge of the woods. He just didn't seem himself. So here I am, it's after midnight, in the middle of the woods, alone with a crying goat and two dogs that don't feel right.
Oh no.
I hear something walking around in the woods, and I don't make a sound or move. The sounds were close enough that I should have been able to see something that with my flashlight. Max begins frantically circling and going back and forth. All I could think was, oh my God, please poop already. I don't want to die in the woods in the middle of the night over you having to poop. Max stops, looks into the woods, and then suddenly takes off back towards Ricky and Sunny. As I move the flashlight towards them, I notice they are standing unnaturally still, like they were paused.
Oh boy.
You know, not creepy at all. Everything outside goes completely silent. No sound of the trees rustling, even though there's a breeze. The goat isn't crying, completely silent. I continue to just move forward and try to keep a steady pace. I do not let myself run. My footsteps in the leaves and gravel were so loud, Ricky and Sunny just stand there and follow me only with their eyes. I get back into the clearing and notice I don't hear Sunny following me. He has a tag on his collar that jingles pretty loud, so that's how I usually know he's tagging along. Once I reached the porch, I turned around to look, and there was nothing. It was still deathly quiet. After we were back inside, I felt like Max's energy shifted back to his own. I have a shadow man that stays on my couch every night. That's a whole different story, what? Maria.
Can't just drop that on us.
And I felt his own energy shift to one of unease. I had a weird dream that night of Sunny sitting right outside the door staring at me. I would peek through the curtains and I see him, but it was like the image would glitch and it would be a woman standing there.
Mm.
Her skin was pale, almost gray. Her hair was stringy and wet, and she was covered in blood. She stood there in a white, or what used to be white, gown, similar in shape to a hospital gown. She would turn her head and smile at me. It wasn't a friendly smile. It was a really creepy one. Her eyes were dark brown. Her nails were all bent upwards, and as if she'd been clawing her way out of something. Then it would glitch back into Sunny. She gave off a weird energy. It was negative and sad. I'm used to dealing with spirits, but not like this. I don't really know what I think it is, but it doesn't feel like any spirit interaction I've had before. Any ideas? I've tried doing research on the land, but I've come up empty-handed. I've never seen my animals act this way, and I've never had them feel as though they weren't themselves. I've had other dreams of this section of the woods before, which I can include in another ghost mail later if you think it may help shine some more light on this situation. As always, thank you so much for reading this and giving your input. You guys do an amazing job with the podcast, and I really look forward to every live stream. Stay weird.
All right.
That's a journey.
We're all excited.
That's a lot.
That was a journey.
That's a lot to unpack.
That was a freaking journey.
There's a reason why the cabin in the woods is a trope. You know, there is a reason why people will tell you the story, because isolation in the woods is full of spooky and scary things. Mm-hmm. And if we really wanted to think about like rational answers, you know, you can come up with things that fit certain parts of the story. You know, off the top of my head, whenever anybody talks about, and we talk about it a lot, you know, somebody calling your name in the woods and things like that, we tend not to mention that there are birds that can mimic human dialect and speech. A raven can have a vocabulary of up to 200 words. So if
and
got,
see in the future.
If you've got a bird a mockingbird or any type of bird that can do that, because, you know, in your first tale, it was basically echoing you. You know, if you're calling in a sing-song voice and it answers in a sing-song voice, there's a lot of mimic animals, you know, birds specifically. Goats also create a lot of weird sounds. There's a lot of weird sounds that come from goats. Let's see, right
like
there. among them, the bleating of a goat.
Bleat, bleat.
But come back to center, it's all about those sensations, that sensation of something rushing up behind you, that sensation of being followed and being watched. Those feelings definitely give us a solid dread of whatever you're going through. This is not uncommon sensations to have in the woods. And so when you nestle yourself in the woods do have the sensation of being watched, of being followed, because spirits, especially malevolent spirits, will take to the woods, because the woods are full of life, full of shadow and isolation. These spirits can exist without the interruption of humans, because humans tend to drive out the darkness. Humans tend to push out, you know, what is threatening and what is frightening. And it's funny, because I just last week I was walking my dog. There's a thing we call the maw. It's just basically a big hole in the woods right next to my house.
Yeah, you've seen and it in the woman with mismatched fingers.
In the woman with mismatched fingers, that's the cul-de-sac that I live in, has this little thing. So I'm walking my dog down this little path, and something jumps out of the bush and crosses the path.
Hail maw.
But I couldn't really see it. I thought it moved like a deer. So I was like, it's probably a deer. But it was very small for a deer. So I was like, maybe it's a baby deer.
Baby deer.
So we keep walking, and then it's whatever it was started crawling out of the woods, very like cat-like or like a person crawling towards me. And I'm like, what am I looking at? And it took me a second, but it was a coyote.
No way, really?
Yes, it was a coyote, wow. And it was now stalking us. It was towards us, you know, just doing this really slow, low. And I was like, should be afraid of me. Yeah, I'm huge.
What was your dog doing?
Oh, well, luckily, my dog did not see it, because my dog is very hyper-reactive to these things, to other dogs, and it would have been a wrestling match to get my dog to go away. So I immediately yanked my dog and we started walking away. And this coyote kind of trotted behind us at a distance. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not taking me down, coyote.
I love also that, like, Starry's like,
Starry doesn't have a lot going on in that big old noggin. So yeah, she's just like, noggin.
Two brain cells.
Yeah, if she sees it, she'll be like, oh no.
That's like Hulk's tart. That's like Tart. Yes. And our guy would have saw it like a mile away.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to surprise Starry. Yeah. Like, Starry's just like, blah, 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 what? And you're like, I was here the whole time. Like, okay.
For those of you who don't know, Starry's a massive pit bull.
Very thick girl. But
yes.
And also is a solid potato. Up for adoption. Y'all are fostering.
We are fostering. Yeah. And Starry's a lovely, lovely dog. A little too strong for us because both me and my wife have bad backs. Yes. So every now and then Starry pulls and we're like, oh no, this may be the end.
Yeah.
So if you want a super cute pity and you don't have any other pets and you just want one dog.
Yes.
Yes.
Hit us up.
Yes. If you just want.
Talk to Renegade.
Yes. If you just want one very sweet potato.
Super sweet. Lovely dog. We love Starry.
Yeah.
A sweet potato. That's
she
it.
Is. Yeah. She's a sweet potato.
Anyway, sorry. We've gotten off track here. The sensations of darkness and oppression are what you really pay attention to. I always say that the most valuable tool in a ghost hunter's box is the heebie-jeebie meter. Mm-hmm. The heebie-jeebie meter is right here, and it will go off when something is amiss.
Wait, it's not the Obelisk 5?
No, it is not the Obelisk 5. The heebie-jeebie meter, I'm telling you. Yes. It's far more reliable. I've definitely had like all the equipment out, but knew in my gut that there was something off. Uh-huh. But my equipment's like, no, there's nothing here. I was like, I'm telling you, there's something here.
There's something here.
I'm mean it. But it brings us now to the dream where and the idea that you went with Skinwalker, which understandable. But animals can get attachments just like humans.
Right.
Animals can attract a spirit, and oftentimes it's by access. The spirit knows that the animal is cared for or is in a place of safety, and so it attaches to the animal. So it's possible that somewhere on your property, there's a body.
Ooh.
And it's very possible that your dog has encountered a gravesite.
I was thinking and something very similar because she saw the woman
with the broken fingernails. Yep. You know, the concept of being buried alive.
Right.
That whole notion. But there is something interesting in the in the way that you've described these things is these moments when the animals appear different in emotion and in action, and I won't go as far as to say possession, but I will say being influenced by that kind of spirit or a spirit like that. So there might be something trying to communicate with you, trying to express to you that they are present, and it's possible that that presence is not nice.
Yeah, by no means do I think this is Faye. I know you mentioned that you're very open to the concept
Faye. Faye Daddy doesn't think it's Faye?
This is not Faye. This is not typical Faye behavior.
No.
I will tell you.
Faye are more enticing by far.
They don't want to scare you. They're like, we have treats. You like treats?
So and what do you think it is? Look back.
It's not a look back.
Oh, I thought it was a look back.
No, look backs are more shadowy. They don't usually.
And they don't engage that way.
Yeah.
You know, look backs are trying to get you out and pull you.
Okay.
They don't come rushing at you.
Right. It feels like this is a very specific entity that is attached to these woods that in some capacity, whether it And I think it's interesting that you say that the energy feels female but not human, which is important to note, because there is, you know, people think, you know, like if it was a non-human entity that they don't lean on the sides of masculine or feminine. That is not necessarily the case. That masculine and feminine energy is not conducive to a human. That is just a softer versus a more harsh energy a lot of times. And so it could be the fact that this is a non-human entity that is trying to get you to trust it in a way by presenting a more feminine energy, because it's usually a softer, less aggressive sort of nature. But because it is non-human, there's always going to be something a little bit off to it, because it can't always get it right. And it usually doesn't get it right. So that would be my take on that in that capacity.
I love that.
You know,
well, and also, yeah. when you deal with non-human entities, they often will form to, they will imitate too. They will mock and mimic. So again, you know, the concept of the, because you, the hospital gown, the broken nails, these things could be something drawn energy-wise to create an image for itself. And it's like, well, this is a human.
Right. You know, this is what humans look like.
But it might be the last human that made an impression to this particular entity. Mm-hmm. And it may not be from the woods. It may actually just be something that this this particular energy, this you know, non-human entity, had been exposed to. And is now utilizing the only form that it really knows as human, and that's an entirely different thing, because we talk about doppelgangers a lot,
right?
And there's a notion that a doppelganger has in it the capacity, you know, because there's the doppelganger that is just like assigned to you at birth, you know, your spiritual. Copy, as it were, and it just kind of follows you around all the time. But there's also just entities that look at you and then adapt to be like you. They kind of single white female you. They yeah. they start to imitate you and start to look more and more like you. And that becomes a totally different question. It's like, well, what is it that it's so desperate to be human or live in the human world that it is adopting a human, you know, countenance.
Right. Like, what is it trying to gain? And it could just be the fact that you are the closest proximity that it has to anything living.
Yes.
Human-wise.
Again, there's a reason why so many horror stories are, you know, the isolated, you know, cabin in the woods.
Right. So, yeah, super creepy, Maria. Please keep us updated.
Yes.
And
tell us about this shadow man on your couch.
Please. Yeah. What?
Because that was an awful casual reveal.
Yes.
Oh, like, by the way.
Yeah.
And then the demon in the closet said, "Hey, who's up for pizza?"
Yeah. So if Maria ever goes radio silent on Patreon, we're going to have to send out a search party now, because now I'm concerned.
Right. You can share with us privately your location, and we can try to look up, you know, through any of our resources, what we know about the area. And maybe do some deep dives there as well.
Yeah,
So please do, because you know, we haven't even talked about again another trope: Native American burial grounds, any number of ritualistic identities that might be around your place. Because many people in the last 50 years, there's been a huge push in occult, but it's not really occult. It's a pop occult. It's people get just a little bit of information and then they go out in the woods and they try it. You know, it's kind of like the Ouija board sensation. It's like there are all these books that came out in the 70s and 80s that kind of were like, be a witch and, you know, raise Satan. And people would go out and do these rituals without having any idea, because it was kind of like a microwave oven instruction. You know, it's like, I'll just come out here and stab myself in the finger and light a candle. So there are a lot of like weird rituals that people did, and you know, the satanic panic of the 80s definitely came about because there was this deep and interesting cultural phenomenon, and young people were quick to be like, oh, you know, I You know, I know I owned the Modern Witches spellbook 1 and 2, you know, because you could just buy them. Mm-hmm. This is back in the day when you had to use a catalog to order books. And so, you know, you could get these books and they were fascinating and interesting, but they're also like a very watered down version of a lot of practices, or at the very least, the people who got the books weren't reading them. They were just kind of hoping that there would be a simple instruction. You know, it's like, oh, I can, you know, if I could just get enough silver, I could make a talisman. So be aware that there's a lot of rampant and reckless pagan rituals going on and left open. You know, mm-hmm. people didn't close them down. People didn't, you know, pay heed to what they may have done. And so there are pockets all over where people had just kind of haphazardly summoned things and did some spell work. And, you know, maybe a couple of animal sacrifices, you know, things of that nature that were, for the most part, kind of fiction.
Yeah.
But the intent was there. The action was there. And intent and action oftentimes result in, you know, something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, the fact that Spirit Halloween sells that, like, 1001 spells book.
Right.
I was literally, like, I saw that. First off, that is a terrible resource if you are into spell work or witchcraft in general. Please do not follow anything that is in that book. It is not meant for, like, actual spell work. It is truly... Something is wrong with Chris's microphone.
My microphone keeps slipping away from me.
It's like
it really does.
Where are you going?
I thought we fixed it with the duct tape, but okay.
But yes,
it's a weird flex.
Yeah, right. He's absolutely right though. In the fact that there are a bunch of people that see, oh, on Spirit Halloween, I got this big old spell book. This must all be true, and it's like, no, this is also like how to hex your ex boyfriend. It's
right.
Like,
well, and that was
world?
One of the things is like, you know, you get a book and on page 14 there's like death spell. And you're like, well, I'm gonna do a death spell. It's like, maybe
oh
not.
My God.
hold off on the death spell.
Yes.
All right, we have room for one more.
Room for one more. All righty. So this one comes to us from the UK.
Yay!
Love when the UK listeners send stuff in. Send more in UK and Australia. I love when Australia sends stuff
in.
Yeah,
the Australian ones. Australia's got such intense things.
I saw the ghost and I said, Nor!
We just lost all of our Australian listeners now. Oh, my God.
We've roasted Australia before. They're used to it. No. That's their personality. They're like, Or!
No.
Like, bring it on!
No.
Crikey!
I'm so sorry.
I know, I sound so ignorant.
On behalf of him, I am so sorry if you're listening to this in Australia. We love you. Please send in your ghost stories for real, though, because I would love to hear about your strong-natured ghosts, because your animals are scary, and
yes.
So I'm assuming your ghosts are as well.
Tell us about the Yowie.
Yes. So, greetings from the UK. I have a story I feel compelled to share with you. I wouldn't say that I am a believer even after the experience I'm about to describe, which is usually the sign
of a hallmark of a good story right there.
But what happened to me that night has stayed with me mostly because I cannot explain it. When I was younger, my uncle came to stay with my family, which at the time consisted of my father, mother, brother, and me. He had joined our family home because he had battled with addiction and my grandma could no longer handle his unruly behavior. He had been staying with us for a fair while, and as I now understand, he was on a methadone program at the time. He seemed much improved, so much so that my parents allowed him to watch me and my brother whilst they were out for a meal one night. Initially, I was excited by this prospect, as was my brother. My parents rarely had the funds to go out at the time, and we had never been looked after by my uncle unsupervised before at nighttime. I remember my parents leaving us, watching a movie with our uncle, and snacking on Maltesers, and then the evening came to an abrupt end, and we were ushered to bed. A short while later, I remembered hearing a knock on the door, and I knew it wasn't my parents, but the hushed tones once the door had been answered, so I went to investigate. When I approached the living room door, I could hear two male voices, and I knew neither was my dad, so I gingerly sneaked into the living room. When I opened the door, there was a familiar face, Uncle Neil, not really an uncle, or Neil Wagon Wheel, as we affectionately called him.
Neil Wagon Wheel, I like that.
That's funny. For some reason. It's fine. JT calls his uncle Onion, so, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
I do. You know, Neil Wagon Wheel rolls off the tongue.
It does.
It really does.
I was allowed to say hello, and again was told it was bedtime. So I did as I was asked, but snuggled into my parents' bed, adamant I wouldn't go to sleep till they came home. Again, not sure why, but not unsurprisingly, I fell asleep quickly. After a while, I felt someone nudge me awake, and I was by this point in quite a deep sleep, in comfy sleep. However, the nudging persisted, so I opened my eyes. I had expected it to be my brother or mom waking me up, but I was amazed I saw amazed me, then astounds me to this day. It was a golden light in the shape of a person.
Oh.
When I woke, its hands were still on me, nudging me and gently shaking me by this point. I could see no discernible features, but I know it wasn't a physical person like my mom or dad or brother. This person was trying to make me get up urgently and desperately. I looked at it and heard its voice say, "Get up, go check, please, please, please." This kept on being repeated, but I froze. Eventually, I managed to calm myself and realize what I needed to do. I was more afraid of what I needed to check than of this entity all of a sudden, so I got up and walked through it. That's the only way I can describe it, really. I silently thanked it as I was leaving the room in my mind, as somehow instinctively I knew this was important. When I reached the bottom of the stairs, my uncle appeared to be asleep, slumped against the couch. The TV was on loud. I walked into the room to turn it off as it felt really late. Upon sneaking into the room, I realized my uncle had a tube around his arm, foil on the floor, and there were pill bottles by him.
No.
I shook him and he didn't wake. I looked at the bottles again and realized they were empty. I wasn't sure how many were in there before, but something told me there must have been lots in there before to make my uncle not wake up. At the time, we had no landline, and I wasn't going to wake my brother as he was 3 years younger than me, and I wasn't really sure what to do at that moment either, but I knew I had to do something. Thankfully, we had friendly neighbors that were adjoined to, and I dashed out of our front door and banged on their front door. The lights were off and I was worried, so I banged louder and eventually a light came on. I said to them my uncle was poorly and needed help, so Keith, my neighbor, ran into the house to see and sent my brother around to join me at his house with his wife and daughter. I remember them saying an ambulance was on its way, and I remember the flashing lights, but the rest of it is all a blur, really. I suppose I was in shock at what had happened. A few days later, we went to see Grandma, or Mommer, as we called her, and she had visited my uncle in hospital, and the doctor said it's a good job that the little girl woke when she did. Another few minutes and he wouldn't have been with us. I don't know whether to be proud, really. It wasn't me that knew to wake up. I was woken. I explained what had happened that night to my parents and neighbors. They all looked amazed by my tale, and eventually my mom concluded, well, it either was a spirit or an angel. I have never been sure which, but I do know that I am grateful it showed up and saved my uncle that day. We've often spoke about this incident as a family and debated what could have happened that night, whether it was my unconscious mind not trusting my uncle, feeling uneasy that someone else had arrived unexpectedly and had triggered a panic in me, whether it was a ghost, a dead relative, or a guardian angel. It was amazing then, and it still is to me till this day thinking about it. My uncle sadly passed when dealing with his addiction years later, but we did get a good few years more with him than I believe we would have had I not woken up that night.
Aww.
Thanks for reading my story. I don't know if you've heard of anything like this before or can help me shed light on this at all. I thought it would be of interest to you potentially. Kind regards, Natalie.
Potentially? No.
Natalie, that is a super fascinating story.
That is a textbook guardian angel story.
Yes, it is.
I mean, every bit of it fits into what we term as guardian angel. And, you know, again, we do not subscribe one way or the other. We're not trying to endorse any faith one way or the other. But the concept of guardian angel, a spirit that is looking after, and it sounds like it was your uncle's guardian angel who came to you, you know, and that gives you, you know, kind of this idea, because the golden figure, the that concept, which is ages old, because the gold tells you certain things right off the bat. The first thing is that it's not human, that you're not dealing with a person. And even if it is, like, you know, grandma come back to help, oftentimes they will adopt this golden hue to create a reassurance that you are dealing with something above the norm, you know, outside of, you know, oftentimes spirits will present themselves in a way to create authority. And, you know, a shining golden figure standing there saying, you got to get up, you got to go check it out. That fits with so many accounts of people who have encountered something that saved their lives or saved the lives of others.
Right.
So I think it fits very well into a guardian angel story.
That was exactly what I thought too. It sounded like some type of protective spirit that was associated with your uncle, because like Chris said, it's not necessarily subscribing to one way or another, but every faith or every culture has
right.
some degree of belief in protective spirits. You know, just those beings that are there to guide you on your path or whatever it have you. And it sounds like this particular one may have noted that it was not time for him to pass yet. Mm-hmm. And so...
And certainly couldn't reach him in his
exactly,
condition.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and there was nothing that he could have done in that situation. But that definitely sounds like, you know, you just happened to be one of the moving parts of yeah. this process. And it's a fascinating story nonetheless. And I am sorry to hear about your uncle's condition and also his passing. And
it is noteworthy that, A, you responded.
Right.
That you didn't cower or hide from it, that you went out, that you went to your neighbors, that you came up with a plan. All those things are on you. You did an amazing job. You did a heroic deed. You can't suggest that because some other entity prompted you that it was not your actions that saved his life, because yeah. it was. And don't try to underplay it because you had, you know, quote unquote divine intervention. Divine intervention only matters if you act. So, you know, a lot of people want to remove responsibility from themselves, both positive and negative, by suggesting that this external force was upon them. But the truth of the matter is, you did the action. You did the saving.
Right. And mm-hmm. this entity just clearly knew that you were the best solution
yes.
to put into play. So, but nonetheless, an amazing story, and you
yeah.
should definitely not second guess yourself that you had this experience.
Right.
I know, you know, that you are not too big of a believer in the paranormal.
And it does not have to form itself into a belief structure.
Right.
You know, you don't have to like hinge everything you know on this one event, but you shouldn't discount the one event. Absolutely.
Exactly. But thank you all so much for sending in your ghost mail. And like we said, if you have a ghost story that you would like to send to us, please send it in to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com, as well as any questions that you might have or photos you want to share with us, videos, what have you. We'd love to see them. But with that, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.